Good morning, everyone. Let me remind all of you that today we are starting new classes. I've been asked to point your attention to the bulletin. Don't color in it. Don't look at the bulletin and not pay attention to me. I know that's a favorite pastime, but just glance at the bulletin on the inside page. I believe there's a list of classes. Anytime we start new classes, it's a period of what I like to call musical classrooms. So there will be some changes. I know that the broom closet that they stuck my class in, we're not going to meet there next week, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now. But please come by this week. We'll figure it out. But there is a class that is moving this week from what is in your bulletin, and that is West Walls. What are you teaching, West? The young married, youngest married people who are still starry-eyed, I think. I can't remember exactly what we're calling it, but it's downstairs across from the singles room and the multipurpose room, okay? So if you go to the classroom listed in your bulletin, you will not find it, all right? Okay, so let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever packed a bag for a trip, just out of curiosity? Okay, all right, very good. Now, how many of you have packed a bag for a trip on which your bags took a little bit different version of the trip than you did, okay? All right, many of us remember. And just out of curiosity, how many of you aren't going to raise your hand no matter what question I ask? Okay, good. That's what I thought. All right, so most of you know that I travel a little bit. I travel a fair amount. I was in New York Friday, couldn't get home Friday night because this client just, I don't know, it was edible arrangements. They actually gave me samples. It was great. I love it when there are food samples. But I was up in New York. I couldn't get home all the way on Friday night. So I got back yesterday, and most of you know from weeks ago, I have a simple rule about baggage. I think there are two kinds, carry-on and lost. Okay, that's pretty much what I look at it as. Now, I got to be careful because we do have members of our congregation who work for some airlines. So let me just go ahead and say this is not your airline, okay, that we're talking about. But what I'd have to do, I mean, travel is difficult as it is. I mean, we pack our stuff, we get ready, and we race to the airport, and we hop on the plane, and you know, it's just, it's one of those things that kind of takes it out of you. So over the years, since I'm usually doing probably between 130, 140 flights a year, I've had to start looking for the absurdities in life just to stay sane. And this week, while I was in New York, I was very happy to see coming out of the subway at the 42nd Street station, if you come up from the NQR trains, which Jimmy and Andy Cohn will know as the Yellow Line, if you come up, there is a sign that is still my favorite sign. I'm so glad the MTA has not realized it, and it is this sign. And I'm just going to leave this here for a second. Now, if someone on your row is thinking, I don't get it, just kind of smile and nod because, you know, I hope they never recognize this because it's just fun. Every time I'm going through that station, I just kind of look to see. But most of you know me, and if any of you who follow me on social media know that there's one thing that I cannot deal with when I travel, okay? What is it? You got it, reclining. It is rude to recline your seat if you're on a plane, okay? I'm just going to say it, and you can disagree with me if you want, but I've got the microphone, okay? So that's the beautiful thing. Well, so I went through this period after several, you know, scuffed noses and nearly broken laptops from people cranking their seat back. I finally decided I'm going on the offensive, okay? Golden rules out the window here. I'm going on the, no, actually I don't recline, okay, because I know it's rude. But I went on the offensive several years ago and I decided, you know what, if you are in front of me and you recline, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a picture of the back of your head and I'm going to post it on social media with your seat number and the flight number and the date. Okay, this gentleman on a 6 a.m. flight out of LaGuardia decides to ram his seat back, nearly jarring me awake, and I thought, come on, dude, if I'd wanted a donut, I would have gone to Krispy Kreme, but you're slamming this head back to me, and it's not just the bad hairstyles, okay? There are some good hairstyles that lean back. This guy leaned back on me before we had even taxied, which, you know, Brother Cheatham knows, that's against the rules, okay? And so I'm posting a picture of that head, but I've never understood the person who decides, hey, I'm going to recline my seat and lean forward. What is that? Why would anyone do that? I just don't get it. And so then I decided, all right, I got to up my game a little bit. Because after a couple of years of that, and I started a group on Facebook called Decline to Recline. Several of you are members of it, and you're all going out and joining it now, aren't you? I got some great pictures out there. But finally, I decided, you know, I need to up my game. I've got to go full frontal. I have got to do something to bring more embarrassment, because my goal is for airlines to charge you to recline. Okay, that's my goal. That's the only way this is going to get fixed. They charge you for bags, they should charge you to recline. I'm fixing it as a revenue opportunity, okay? So I decided, all right, if you sit next to me and you recline and you fall asleep with your mouth open, I'm making a picture of you. And you better know, if you fall asleep on my shoulder, I'm making a picture of you. I can't make this up. It drives me completely nuts. Now, there was a period, there was one flight, we are going somewhere with this, there was one flight where I don't even know where it was from or where it was to, but I started hearing gangster rap music. And it was very clear, okay? Now, those of you who are in my media class a little few months back know there is some rap music I actually like, okay, and that I will listen to. I mean, but there are slices of it, just like any other genre of music. I'm like, what is that? I heard this. I mean, it was, you could tell it was angry, okay? It was very angry music. And I thought, where is this coming from? Did somebody bring a boombox in here? 1982 called. They want the boombox back. I'm looking around. I can't find it anywhere. It's very clear. And I thought, they're not playing this over the plane's sound system. There's no way. And so I finally look around and I realize, finally, it's a little old lady next to me across the aisle. But if you look closely, her headphones are on wrong side out. Now, I don't know what was funnier, her wearing her headphones wrong side out, or she's sitting there pondering gangster rap music. I just don't get it. I mean, there are some absurdities. Just, we got to do it just to figure out and try to make things sane for us and try to endure it. And then we get off the plane and we end up here. Now, don't these people look happy, okay? You've been there, haven't you? The first experience I had with a lost bag was in 1983. We were flying back from Cairo, Egypt, back to the U.S. And so I'm young. I'm packing my bag. I'm putting all of the things that I think are Egyptian artifacts in my bag, you know, and zipping it up. And I go to the Egyptian airport. I dodge the dogs because there were dogs running through it. And I get up to the checkout counter and I put my bag up there and I'm smiling because I'm thinking, it's Cairo. What could possibly go wrong? And so they take my bag and we fly back. We do a stopover in Athens and then go to New York, down to St. Louis and back home. All right? We get there and the conveyor's going. And you know, if the conveyor ever stops and you haven't seen your bag yet, oh, you're hosed, okay? And so I get up and we go over to the baggage area, and this was 1983, okay? There was not, I mean, you could still go to the gate even if you didn't have a ticket back in those days. And so they said, oh, I'm sure it'll be on the next flight. Fine. We'll bring it to your house. Great. At least we were going home, right? I mean, at least we were going home and it was not that big a deal. 2 weeks later, our bags show up. I could never have afforded the trip my bags took, because they went with us from Cairo to Athens, and then we found out they went to Warsaw, Moscow, Paris, London, New York, St. Louis, and home. There's no way I could ever build that kind of vacation. There's no way I could ever pay for it. And we've all been in that spot where we've been waiting for the bags. And so now this is my bag. I love this bag. This bag has just over 100,000 air miles on it, and it is like new. And I can walk up to an airline counter, and I can say, hey, could I hop this flight? My flight's 2 hours later, and they will use the extra loud keyboards that all airlines have. It sounds like a machine gun. And then they'll ask me the question. And you know the question, right? Do you have any bags? And while resting my arm on this handle, I will say, no, I don't. And they say, great. Because you see, this is under different rules. This fits perfectly in an overhead bin. This is not true baggage. It's kinda, sorta baggage. And so the airlines look at this and they say, oh, that's not really baggage. Now that may work for Delta, it may work for American, but that ain't gonna fly in life. Because the reality is every one of us come in here today with a little bit of baggage, don't we? We've all accumulated some baggage. It's real hard to go on a trip without any bags. I mean, we need some stuff, or at least I hope you need some stuff. And as we go through life, as we journey through life, we end up picking up some baggage. And there's this strange thing that happens in churches, because people who have been in churches for a very long time oftentimes forget that they had baggage. And then they start to judge people who come in with visible baggage. I mean, we've got some things that we look at and the ways that we look at baggage at church, don't we? We kind of project this unspoken message of, well, you better not have any. Or we might even say, well, okay, you might have a little bit, but it better be able to fit up under the pew in front of you. I mean, it needs to be easily concealed. Is it any wonder that sometimes people who have a lot of baggage come in here and think, I could never fit in here? Because we get real good at just smoothing over a lot of the rough edges. So for today and for next week, I'm going to ask you if you would you join me at baggage claim for a little bit? Can we talk a little bit about our baggage? Let me share with you real quickly, because one of the things that concerns me is if there's any place on this planet where people with baggage ought to be able to come and say, hey, I've got baggage. It ought to be among people who follow Christ. It ought to be among people who have realized that there's someone who can help them with the burden of their baggage. So if you're interested, there are some outlines on your pews if you want them, if you're into that sort of thing. I want to share with you three truths about our baggage today. And the first one is pretty simple. All children of God have baggage. Every one of us come in here with some baggage. I mean, the reality is that we have oftentimes ended up coming in here and feeling the weight of the baggage that we carry. We tend to forget ours. We tend to want to judge others if we forget what kind of baggage we've had. And can you imagine how much friendlier, how much more of an impact we could have to this community if we would start to make sure people understand, hey, yeah, we got it. We're toting it, but we've got somebody who helps us through that. And I don't mean to sound trite today, but I want to let me just bring forward John, because John steps right in the middle of this whole discussion. And part of our scripture reading today was out of 1 John chapter 1, and specifically verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, listen to what John says. He says, we deceive who? Let me try that again. Who do we deceive? We deceive ourselves. Notice John didn't say we deceive God. God knows you got baggage. I mean, the people on your row, they've got baggage. Take a minute and look. Well, don't look. Just kind of glance over to the person next to you. They got baggage. Stop. I see a couple of wives elbowing their husbands saying, you got baggage. I got a carry-on. You got a footlocker. I mean, I understand. But all of us have baggage. Every one of us. But John steps in the middle of it and he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then look what he says. If we say we have not sinned, if we say, I don't have baggage. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. That should terrify you. If you are covering up your baggage to the point where you're saying, I got no problems, you ought to be terrified. Because John steps in the middle of it and saying, you're making God a liar at that point. Now that's John, that's not Hodges, okay? If that bugs you, write him. Because the reality is, John is speaking very clear truth. Let me share with you baggage truth number two. We learn early to hide it well. You know this is right. We learn very early to hide it well. How many of you have ever had a car ride to church that didn't exactly put you in a worship mindset? You ever had one of those? This morning, all of you with kids are like, yeah, every week. You know, I remember when my kids were young, we were worshiping over with the Levy congregation. I mean, we would, you know, I can be fairly difficult, okay? Tamara is a saint. But she, you know, when I travel, she thinks I'm very pretentious. You know, in the summers, I say, oh, there are too many civilians in the airport. You know, I get all haughty and everything. But when we're getting ready for church, when my kids are young, hurry up, we got to get there. And we're jumping in the minivan, okay? And we are racing there. And my, you know, my kids are like, Daddy, you're speeding. Be quiet, I got to teach class, you know? And I'm wheeling into the parking lot on two wheels, pulling kids out. One of them's crying. Tamara's sitting there like tapping her foot, and we're walking in, and then instantaneously, well, Brother Thornton, how are you? It's really good to see you. Hey, sister, how are you? Oh, give me a, come on, kids, let's go to Bible class. We know how to cover this stuff up, don't we? We cover it all the time. I mean, if you think about it, we are teaching our kids early to hide this stuff. Have you ever used the phrase like I have? Don't tell anyone else about that. Don't tell mommy I did that. I mean, you know, we've been in this spot. When I was growing up, I had three sets of clothes. You probably did too, okay? I grew up in the, I'm not even going to date myself, but let's just say disco was cool. When I grew up, I had three sets of clothes. I had play clothes, I had school clothes, and I had, you got it, and one set of those church clothes, Tamara seen a picture, was a red suit with a red shirt and a white tie, and it was sweet. It was so awesome. Until I was running in the parking lot and fell and tore the knee of that red suit with red shirt and white tie. I didn't sit very well for a couple of weeks after that. I got worn out because you don't play in your church clothes, right? Now, is it fair to say, and I don't know why it took me this long in life to realize it, but I finally started realizing, you know, a lot of people have church clothes of the mind. We come in and we project a certain persona about ourselves. We learn early. We learn real early to hide some of this. This really goes back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, let's be honest. You think back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, after they sin, after they take that fruit, whatever kind of fruit it was, the fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, what is their first reaction? See, I've never quite understood the whole fig leaf thing. I mean, these are two people who God created who have been married for who knows how long, who have been naked in front of each other for who knows how long, and their first reaction is, well, I gotta cover myself. There's a lot of theology wrapped up in the whole story of Adam and Eve, but can we be real honest? Isn't it interesting that mankind's first response to sin was not, God, I have messed up. It was, I need to cover and hide. And you keep reading that story, and God walks through the garden in the cool of the morning, and he's looking for man. The man saying, well, I hid. I was afraid. It's no surprise that we all do this, because it started from the beginning. Let me show you my real baggage. You can't really tell it, but this bag is beat up. Frame's kind of messed up in it. This is the mess I don't want anybody to see. You ever been at baggage claim when a bag that ruptured in flight comes down? You ever seen that? It's hilarious. The airline tries to slap a little twine around it, you know, but it hits. And what does everybody at baggage claim do? We all laugh. And then we all get quiet. Because we're all waiting to see who's going to step up and say, this is mine. I mean, if that were me, I'd wait until everybody had left. I'd wait until the airport had closed and then go try and get my bag. We don't like showing this stuff. And we really don't. There's so much of our lives that we don't want to show. And I get it, folks. I get it. I know, there are plenty of you who are sitting there saying, I just would really prefer if I could just not show my baggage. I'll just keep it to myself. Thank you very much, sir. Okay? I get it. But there are some parts of our life that we need a little bit of help with. And that leads us to the third and final truth about our baggage, which is pretending we don't have it doesn't make it any easier to carry. I mean, we can pretend all day, but baggage gets heavier the longer you tote it. Have you noticed that? Seems to just keep getting a little heavier. And that's when Satan whispers in your ear, you can never let anyone know about fill in the blank. Trust me, that's not God's voice that is whispering in your ear. The reality of all of this is something that some friends of mine, I've got two or three friends who've been counselors for a very long time, and it's like they all took the same test. They probably did, but they have all told me a form of this saying that I will share with you, which is truth is kind of like a bubble in a swamp. Eventually, it's going to rise. No matter how hard you try to cover, to run and to hide it, eventually it's going to rise and you're going to have to deal with it. The baggage in this life is simply something that you cannot carry on your own. And the reality is, if we would understand and claim our baggage and realize, yes, I got baggage, then Jesus is attracted to people like us who are messes. And you look back through Jesus' ministry, he was attracted to the messes. I joked with my class a couple of years ago, maybe that is why they called him the Messiah. I mean, the reality is, you look at Jesus' ministry, he is attracted to all of the messes. He tries to get away from the people who act like they've got everything figured out. And he focuses in on those who are messes. And I think that if we could create a place where people could unburden themselves rather than a place where people feel like they have to hide the burdens, we would be a lot closer to being the people of God that we want to be. Now, let me share one thing with you as we close. I know the question eventually comes up, well, how do I deal with my baggage? For that, you're going to have to come back next week, because we're going to talk specifically about that. But as we close today, let me just paint a picture for you. When I travel with my family, we've got a lot of luggage, as you can imagine. I've got backpacks and makeup bags and, you know, bigger bags. And, you know, when my kids were younger, they'd each be pulling a bag, and my wife is pulling a bag, and I'm like weighed down, and we walk into whatever hotel we might be staying in, and there are these people there all dressed in the same uniform. You've seen them. You might call them a bellhop. And they're like puppies. They're crawling all over each other, tumbling, coming toward you like a blob. Sir, can I help you with your baggage? And what does any self-respecting man say? I got this. Now, I will admit to being frugal, but not cheap, okay? I don't want to tip someone for hauling my bag, not when I can handle it. Sadly, I fear that I've spent a good amount of my life doing that same thing with my own baggage, because I want to make an introduction to you today. I want to introduce you to the greatest baggage handler in the world. And his name is Jesus. And he asks you over and over and over again, can I help you with that? Can I take your bag? Can I help you? Will you want to give that to me? In fact, let me put it in his words out of Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He said that thousands of years ago, and for some reason, we often still want to say, I got this. This is mine. I can handle this. And Jesus says, I'll take it. So let me ask you today, have you met the baggage handler? Have you given him your baggage? Have you given him your burdens? Wouldn't it be nice to come to church and leave not feeling exhausted just because you're trying to act like everything is okay? Jesus calls to all of us across all of these many years and says, just come to me. I'll take your burdens. I'll take your baggage. I'll relieve you of that. He is the only one who can do that. So this morning, if you haven't met him, if you haven't aligned your life with him, I want to invite you. There is no better life than to be baptized into him and to live as a Christian. But if you have already been baptized, if you are toting that baggage and you are just tired of the burden, he stands today and says, let me help you. I'll take that if you want. And the reality is, if we will have the courage to give him our baggage, we will find a whole different feel to our lives. Can we help you with that this morning? If we can, won't you come now while we stand and encourage you with this song?